Day five today of the John Edwards trial in North Carolina. The former North Carolina senator and vice presidential candidate is being tried on six felony charges stemming from an extramarital affair that produced a child and ended his political career. But in the court of public opinion, John Edwards is on trial for something much, much more personal, isn't he? And seemingly much less forgivable. Lying to a terminally ill wife, fathering a child out of wedlock. Edwards' fall from political grace was so quick and so severe, it makes you wonder, how does this scandal rank among sex scandals of American politicians and their most infamous infidelities? He is far, far from the first. Let's put it into some historical context with a man who makes it his business to dig into the sexual scandal histories of American politicians. He's David Eisenbach. He's historian and lecturer at Columbia University. He's sitting across from me now. Professor Eisenbach, welcome.
Thank you, Todd.
Now, you've got a new television show, right, where you sort of look at the private lives of historical figures. You co-authored a book with Larry Flint,
yes,
who's famous for putting out bounties on politicians' sexual behavior. You're a professor of this kind of thing. Larry Flint, really? I mean, you're kind of playing it in both ends, the history of it, but also he's kind of fomenting it a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's making history, and he's using any politician who comes out against gay rights and doesn't want gays in the military, doesn't want gays to be married. If they're going to do that, well, he's going to, and if they have a secret sex scandal in their background, he's going to out it. So he's going to fight fire with fire.
What do you think on the John Edwards scandal in particular? What separates it from other political sex scandals? Is it the fact of a very sympathetic and tragically ill wife who passed away? Is it that thing in particular that she was so beloved? What is it?
That's a big part of it, certainly. But it's also the political context. This is not the first time an out-of-wedlock birth has played a role in a presidential campaign. In 1884, Grover Cleveland was outed to have fathered a child out of wedlock. And it became a huge political sex scandal right in the middle of the campaign. His opponent, James Blaine, kept on hitting, "We can't trust this man who has this child out of wedlock." Well, Grover Cleveland just flat out admitted it. "Yes, and I've been taking care of the child and the mother," and he got elected president of the United States. Well, that was a much different time. It was an all-male electorate. It was a less morally judgmental political climate.
So no 24-hour news cycle,
no
obviously.
No 24-hour news cycle, and so it was a different world. So the sex hasn't changed. Our approach to sex and politics has changed.
What about our approach to forgiveness? And how politicians deal with sex scandals. Some manage to stay in politics quite successfully. Bill Clinton's famously survived.
Famously, 1992.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer Flowers, right in the eve of the New Hampshire campaign, it comes out and he rolls with it and is able to, you know, work it.
And he survived Monica Lewinsky. Not only was he not impeached, but he was politically very successful after that.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the is John Edwards beyond being saved in this way? And if so, what's the difference between a Bill Clinton and a John Edwards? They both have famous wives. Hillary Clinton has a lot of fans. Why did Bill Clinton survive? And it appears John Edwards never will.
Well, I think it's the wife having cancer certainly hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's impossible to get away with that. Secondly, the child out of wedlock has this kind of long-term consequence. You know, he's kind of ruined a number of lives. And then add into the fact the attempted cover-up. This extensive thing that involved Andrew Young and his wife and his family. It's just a total mess, and there's just so much dirt out there. It's impossible to walk away from it clean.
You mentioned Grover Cleveland. We're talking with Dr. David Eisenbach at Columbia University. You mentioned Grover Cleveland fathered a child out of wedlock. I know there are other historical examples. We cannot have this discussion, I'm sorry, without talking about the Kennedys. I asked you right before we came on the air if you'd read a book called Nemesis by Peter Evans. You said you had. I've read it. It is a lurid, lurid tale of sexual intrigue, vitriol, and revenge between JFK, RFK, Jackie Kennedy, and Aristotle Onassis. I don't know how much of it is true. If a tenth of it is true, it's absolutely lurid. Now, so many decades after John Kennedy's presidency, more and more stories of his sexual life come out long after his presidency. Most of them did not come out when he was president. And I'm asking you to speculate, but could he have survived in the 60s, in that time? let's say if one of the stories of Marilyn Monroe or call girls in the White House pool or one of his young mistresses was just out, I believe participated in a book, said that she had dalliances with him during the convention, would wait in his hotel room for him. She told her own story. These are many, many examples.
Yeah.
If any of these had been made public in 1961, could he have survived?
Probably not. But it was a different political world. This is the height of the Cold War. During the 20th century, the press laid off the presidents and presidential candidates. And so affairs that would have made it into the newspapers in the 19th century, Grover Cleveland, for example, that stuff got swept under the rug. So you have Woodrow Wilson, who had affairs, gets elected president. Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. She has her girlfriend living in the White House. He has his girlfriend living in the White House. It's not entered into the press. People know about it. The Kennedys. And it's not just Jack Kennedy who had an affair. Jackie Kennedy was having an affair with Robert Kennedy during the 1968 presidential campaign. All this stuff was known. People in the press knew about it, but they wouldn't dare print it because that would have destabilized the presidency, called into question the legitimacy of the U.S. government in the middle of the Cold War. That's a treasonous act.
Was it that, or was it that the press was 99% male? It was wink and a nod. It was, like you said, it was an all-male electorate, not in the 60s, but an all-male White House press who, let's be honest, probably didn't really care all that much.
Well, they wanted access, and it was the days of access journalism. It wasn't the antagonistic kind of – it was more of an all-boys club. And so if you even tried to print a story about the private lives of the president, you would be blackballed and your career would be over.
I veered into this book a little bit, Nemesis, by Peter Evans, which is about the Kennedys. I'm not plugging it, but I've always found it one of the most compelling, lurid political books I've ever read.
Yeah, me too.
We talked about RFK and JFK. You mentioned Jackie a little bit.
Yeah.
And again, let's stipulate, I did not report this book, but if a tiny bit of this book is true on the sex scandal side, the allegations are lurid and remarkable. That book claims that Jackie Kennedy, in her ongoing affair, her burgeoning affair with Aristotle Onassis, who she later married years after the assassination of JFK, actually had him staying in the White House during the Kennedy funeral just to spite the rest of the family. Claims that she – it's not a claim. It's a matter of history that she was aboard Aristotle Onassis's yacht, much to the consternation of the White House – only about 6 weeks before November 22nd and the shooting in Dallas. History forgets that because the president was killed tragically.
That's right.
There was a lot going on in that Kennedy White House.
There was. In fact, in my book that I wrote with Larry Flint, One Nation Under Sex, we have one chapter dedicated to Jack and an entire chapter dedicated to Jackie. And we don't think of first ladies as being promiscuous and having sex on the side the way we think that presidents do. In the case of Jackie Kennedy, that was the case. They had kind of an agreement. He had his philanderings and she had hers. And so she would go away from the White House and he was free to do what he did. And she would go on these trips, including this 10-day trip on the Christina in the Mediterranean with Onassis.
Yeah, and brought her sister, Lee Radzwill, with her, apparently, at the request of the White House, who was acutely aware how badly this would look on the front pages of the tabloids, which is where it wound up.
Here's the crazy thing. Aristotle Onassis was having an affair with Lee Radzwill, who was Jackie Kennedy's sister. So Jackie steals Aristotle from her sister. I mean, we're talking a really kind of funny family.
Well, since you mentioned it, the book also claims an affair between Bobby Kennedy and Lee Radzwill, which was, I think, fairly well known. And then you mentioned a later affair between Jackie and Bobby. So a lot of crossover, shall we say, between these characters.
Without question. And you know, they were above it all. This was they were the height of the jet set in those days. And so they thought they were untouchable.
Yeah. They really seemed to me like Greek gods kind of lashing out at each other with thunderbolts, sort of above the law, above the normal sphere that most of us operate in. And it's really a compelling story. I sound like I'm plugging that book. In the minute we have left, let me just ask you about Anthony Weiner, another sex scandal of the day. It seems to me that he has a chance of returning to politics. He has the unfortunate embarrassment of photos being out there, but he's kind of gone away in contrition. Do you think Congressman Anthony Weiner can come back into politics?
I do. I think he could have survived all also accept that he was having the contact with the underage girls. That was what ultimately killed him. But now, with time passing, one of the things that we learned and during the Clinton scandal is that, you know, the more the public gets hit with the information, it seems like it's so damaging. After a while, the public gets tired of it. They don't want to hear it anymore. It
washes out.
It washes out, and it doesn't have the impact that it
we'll
did
see
before.
If that dynamic affects Anthony Weiner. I'm just curious about that. Dr. David Eisenbach, lecturer and author at Columbia University. 10 Things You Don't Know About, that's his new TV series.
H2 on Monday nights at 10.
There you go.